Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
When I was a child, I remember flipping through photo albums with my parents. Now, for those younger people who have never seen a photo album, except for on your phone, a photo album was thick, typically leather-bound. It had sticky pages of plastic, right? And the cover, there was always a cover on it. Like, my mom was always worried that there was something going to happen to the cover, so she left the plastic on it, kind of like old women used to do with their couches. I don't want my couch to be ruined, so I'm just going to put this nasty plastic over top of it, right, that your butt would stick to. And we would look at the pictures of my parents from before I was born, and I would ask questions like, who is that? Because a lot of times I didn't know the people that were in the photos off the top of my head. Or I'd ask, where were you when you took this picture? And my dad took a lot of trips as a kid, so there was always these places that he had been that were really cool to know about. And they'd tell me stories that helped me understand who they were before I knew them. And those stories gave me a deeper understanding of my family, of where I came from, and of the love that had always been there even before I was. In many ways, the scripture we're going to look at today, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, is like one of those photo albums. It's a portrait or an image of Jesus Christ that shows us who He is, not just in the manger, not just on the cross, but in eternity. It's a picture of Christ as King, sovereign over all creation, before time began and into eternity. And today, as we gather on Christ the King Sunday, we are invited to gaze at this portrait and ask ourselves this question: do we really see Jesus for who He is? Do we really see Jesus for who He is? As we prepare to enter the Advent season, we often focus on the baby in the manger, and the shepherds in the field, and the star in the sky. By the way, that reminds me. One cool aspect of our manger. It's on a wire, so it moves. I like the star. It's almost like it's twinkling. And we look at these things rightfully so. They're beautiful, and they're vital parts of the Christmas story. And we are going to discuss them through the Advent season that begins next week. But if we're not careful, we can sentimentalize Christmas, can't we? We can reduce Jesus to a sweet child wrapped in cloth, forgetting that this child is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one through whom all things were made. It can look something like this.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you...
I couldn't play that whole clip because it wasn't appropriate for church. I know we find that silly and funny, but we live in a world that often tries to shrink Jesus down to something manageable, something that fits into our schedules, our priorities, our comfort zones. But as we dive into Colossians chapter 1, we're going to find that it won't let us do that. It lifts our eyes and it expands our vision. It reminds us that the one we worship at Christmas is not just a part of the story, he is the author of the story. And I think deep down we all long for that kind of Jesus. A Jesus who is bigger than our fears, stronger than our doubts, and more powerful than the chaos around us. A Jesus who reigns not just in heaven, but in our everyday lives now. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. It'll be on the screen, of course, if you don't have your Bible with you. Listen to Paul's majestic. I mean, there's only one word that describes this. This is a majestic description of Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 15. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is no ordinary introduction. Paul is writing to a young church in Colossae, a community that was wrestling with false teachings and confusion about who Jesus really was. This is not too dissimilar to the culture we find ourselves in, is it? Both in the church and outside of it. We can look around, folks. There are churches that don't know who Jesus really is. And Paul doesn't start with a list of rules or a theological argument. He starts with worship. He paints a picture of Jesus that is cosmic, eternal, and glorious. First, Paul tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In other words, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He's not just a reflection or a representative. He is the very image, the exact imprint of God's being. So we're entering Christmas season, and one of my daughter's favorite things to do is to make cookies. How many of you like making Christmas cookies? How many? Some of us like to eat them, not necessarily do the work to make them. That's the nice thing about being a dad, I guess. Sit on the couch. Amen. There you go. One of our girls' favorite cookies to make is thumbprint cookies. You guys know these? So you get the peanut butter cookie, right, and you put the thumbprint in it, and then you put all kinds of things, Hershey Kiss or maybe some fruit in there, you know? Jesus is the thumbprint of God, the exact imprint. You know, we know this. Our thumbprints, our fingerprints are unique to us. Debbie, your thumbprint might actually be similar to mine, but it's not the same. Jesus is the exact imprint of God himself. Second, Paul tells us in the scripture that all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. When anyone says that Jesus is not God himself, this scripture completely destroys it, that idea. Jesus is creator. He's the same. He is God himself. Jesus is not just a part of creation. He's not just a created being. He is the creator. Everything from galaxies to grains of sand, from angels to atoms, was made by him and for him. You ever thought about that? That Jesus created everything in heaven and on earth? He is above the angels because he created them. Third thing we learn. Paul tells us that in Christ, all things hold together. That in Christ, all things hold together. When you're making cookies, ladies, I mean some men maybe, but what is an ingredient in most cookies that you have to have in order for them to stay together? Eggs. Flour is necessary, right? Water. If you get some, like one or even two of those ingredients wrong, are your cookies going to look good? Are they going to hold together? Are they going to taste good? Probably not. Maybe if you do it, I don't know. Just like the eggs bind the cookie together, Jesus is the glue of the universe. He is the reason the stars don't fall out of the sky. He's the reason that your heart keeps beating. He's the reason that even though there may look like there's chaos, he's the reason that there's order. He sustains all things by his powerful word. Finally, Paul brings it home. This cosmic Christ is also the head of the church. He is not distant or detached from us. He is intimately involved in the life of his people. And through his death and resurrection, he has reconciled all things to himself, making peace through his blood. I've said this before. Christmas is fine. There's nothing wrong with Christmas. We celebrate it. We love it. I've said it before. It's my favorite season of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That song was written for me, I think. But the truth is, Christmas doesn't matter if resurrection doesn't happen. It's because of resurrection. It's because of the power that comes from the resurrection of Christ that Christmas even matters. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we wouldn't celebrate Christmas. Why would we? He'd be just another guy. Jesus is the king we worship. Not a king who rules by force or by fear, but a king who rules through love, sacrifice, and resurrection power. Someone say amen. He's a king who doesn't just sit on a throne in heaven, but one who came down to dwell among us, to suffer with us, and to save us. I know he's not in there right now. This is not what kings are born into on this planet. This is not what royalty looks like in human terms, is it? Do you know what the manger was for? Feeding animals. And Jesus was placed in there. Jesus, of all people, the creator of the universe, there was no room for him. At the inn. And yet, as we're going to talk about in just a few weeks, three wise men see a star in the sky, God who controls the stars, head to this far-off land to see a king lying in a manger. Isn't that crazy? We don't worship just some guy. Our God is real. So what does this mean for us as we prepare to enter the Advent season? I was reminded this morning from Drew that sometimes we forget or don't know what Advent means. And so let me tell you what Advent means. It means waiting. Before Jesus, people were waiting for a Savior. The Jews were waiting for someone to come and rescue them. The problem was they didn't know what they needed rescue from. They thought they needed rescue from the Romans. Jesus didn't come to rescue them from the Romans. Jesus came to rescue them from their sin. That's the only reason Jesus came. We are in a second advent. We are waiting for Jesus to return, aren't we? And in some ways, it's even harder than the first time because we know he's real and we know he's going to come. But now it's just a matter of how long do we have to wait? This Christmas, we're entering a season, a sermon series called The Rhythm of Christmas. And if you haven't noticed, we've got some hymns on the, some Christmas carols on the wall. The words are right there for you to read. Each week, we're going to have a song that's kind of our focus. The reason we're doing that is before we can jump into the rhythm of shopping, decorating, and planning for Christmas, we need to align our hearts with the rhythm of heaven. And the rhythm of heaven begins with worship. When we go to heaven someday, hopefully all of us, we're going to be doing one thing. We have one job to do in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We're going to sing that song for all of eternity. We're going to worship. Now, for those of you like Debbie, Courtney, myself, the rest of the worship team, that sounds really cool. Like, we get to worship for the rest of eternity. Sounds pretty good to me. Worship is the center. And worship begins with recognizing that Jesus is not just the reason for the season. He's the sovereign one over all seasons. That's why we say after Easter, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is a representative. They call it the Lord's Day. Why? Because the Lord rose that day. So today is Easter Sunday. Next week, November 30th, is Easter Sunday. Let me ask you this as we begin to close. Is Jesus the center of your life? Is Jesus the center of your life? Not just your Sunday mornings, but your Monday decisions, your Tuesday stress, your Wednesday relationships. Is he holding all things together in your world? Or are you trying to hold it all together yourself? This Advent, I want to challenge you to start with Christ the King. Before we walk through the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love, we must first declare Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over our time. He is Lord over our homes. He is Lord over our priorities. And most importantly, he is Lord over our hearts. Maybe this week you can take some time to read Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20 for yourself each morning. Let it reframe your vision. Let it remind you that the 8-pound baby in the manger is also the king of the cosmos. Let it shape your rhythm this Christmas, not around chaos or consumerism, but around Christ. Imagine what it would look like if we all lived like Jesus was truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our lives. Imagine if our homes reflected his peace, if our conversations echoed his grace, if our schedules honored his presence. Imagine a Christmas not driven by pressure, but by purpose. Not filled with noise from toys. Hey, that rhymed. That wasn't in my notes. But with the rhythm of worship. As we enter Advent, let's walk together in that rhythm, church. Let's prepare our hearts not just for a holiday, but for a holy encounter with the King who came and is coming again. As the worship team comes, I'll leave you with this. When Christ is King, everything changes. Our fears lose their grip, our burdens find rest, and our lives find meaning. So let's begin this season with eyes lifted high, hearts bowed low, and voices ready to sing, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne." We're going to sing that in just a moment. Let it begin with you, or sorry, me. Let it begin with you, and let it begin with us. Amen.